Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward. This week we have two wartime situation comedies that both involve a star playing Santa Claus for a good cause. First, we have Gracie trying to talk George into playing Santa. When he turns her down, she appeals to her friend Elsa Lanchester for advice on how to handle a husband. Elsa was married to Charles Laughton, who had recently played Captain Bly in Mutiny on the Bounty. There are lots of laughs about wartime shortages, too. Enjoy the Burns and Allen Show, first broadcast December 21st, 1943, on CBS.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers Makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our guests, the MGM star Charles Laughton and his charming wife Elsa Lanchester, Jimmy Cash and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie.
Gee, that's a swell-looking Christmas tree you got, Gracie.
Oh, isn't it handsome? I picked this tree for sentimental reasons.
You did?
Yes. You see how it's little at the top and spreads out at the bottom?
What's sentimental about it?
It reminds me of you.
Thanks, dear.
Oh, won't it be wonderful, darling, spending another Christmas together?
You bet.
And this year it's got to be a real white one.
A white Christmas?
Yes.
Gracie, it never snows in Hollywood.
Oh, I didn't mean that. But remember the sheets we sent to the laundry 6 months ago?
Oh, they're back.
Yes.
We'll have a white Christmas and a starchy New Year, yeah.
Oh, remember our first Christmas, George? You were dating me then.
Sure, I remember.
You kissed me under the mistletoe. My, you were a fiery lover.
I was?
Yeah. Oh, look, we're under the mistletoe now. How about a kiss?
Oh, Gracie.
Oh, come on. I want to see if your kisses are still fiery.
Okay. Well?
I guess they're not making mistletoe like they used to.
Well, come on, we better get busy and trim the tree.
All right, and then we'll go to the pageant rehearsal.
Pageant rehearsal?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Nigel Bolingbroke is staging a Christmas pageant. I'm the Snow Queen, and you're going to be Santa Claus.
Look, I'm not going to be Santa Claus for that broken-down pool room bum.
But, George, it's a wonderful part. You come down the chimney and put presents in the bottles that are hanging by the fireplace.
Wait a minute, Bottles are hanging by the fireplace?
Yeah, liquid stockings.
Oh, I see.
Aw, you'll be such a cute little Santa Claus with a pillow stuffed in your coat and a long...
Gracie, I'm not going to be in the pageant.
Well, you're very silly, dear. A talent scout might see you. Why, Lana Turner was discovered just sipping a soda in a drugstore.
Well, maybe Lana Turner had more to offer than I would a Santa Claus.
Oh, I don't know. With a pillow in front of you, you'd have...
Never mind.
Greetings, good people. Tis I, Bolingbroke.
Oh, hello, Maestro. I was just telling George that we want him to play Santa Claus in our pageant.
Yes, and I turned it down, Cueball.
Well, you can't be serious, Burns. What a pageant it will be. The very thought of the first scene warms my heart. As the curtain rises, the stage is crowded with little children. Little tots too young to have an agent, all working for nothing.
Yes, that would warm your heart.
And then, tally-ho, out upon the stage comes jolly old St. Nick in his sleigh.
Drawn by his faithful reindeer, Dunder and Blitzen, Dancer and Prancer, Comet and Garrett Lidecker.
Comet and Garrett Lidecker?
It's an actor friend of mine. Though reduced to playing a reindeer, he insists upon full billing.
Look, I don't want to have anything to do with this broken-down pageant.
A Apparently, Mrs. Burns, we must seek elsewhere for a sucker, a Santa.
Oh, I've got it. The perfect Santa Claus. Charles Lawton.
Oh, stop.
Well, he's already got a big bundle. All he has to do is move it around to the back.
Gracie, you'll never get a man like Charles Lawton to be in the silly pageant.
Folks, am I interrupting anything?
Not a thing, Bill.
Well, friend Goodwin, I'm so happy to see you. Your arrival is most opportune.
Will a half a buck be enough?
Don't be crude, my dear fella. I merely wish to proffer you the role of Santa Claus in our Christmas pageant.
Oh, well, you're too late, Cueball. I'm taking Santa's place at the department store Toyland this week.
Oh, really, Bill?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'll bet it's fun giving the kiddies presents.
Oh, it is, Gracie. You ought to see their little faces light up when they unwrap them and say, "Ooh, look, Sandy gave me a great big bar of swine."
That's the present.
Well, sure, George. Swan, the new white floating soap, is a present for the whole family because it's four soaps in one. The soap for your hands and face, a wonderful soap for bathing the baby, and perfect for dishes and light laundry. Four swell soaps in one, a great wartime buy.
Well, Bill, what if a little girl asks for a doll?
Oh, Bill has a special bar of Swan that says Mama when you break it in two.
Well, the little girls like to climb up on my lap and have me tell them how to wash the dishes with Swan. I tell them about those long-lasting Swan suds, and I tell them that Swan is so mild and gentle they don't have to worry about rough dishpanny hands.
They like that, huh?
Oh, sure. Fascinates them. Why, yesterday a little girl named Nancy sat in my lap for a half hour.
Well, is she big enough to wash the dishes?
Well, I think so. She's 22.
Well, if Bill won't be our Santa Claus, I better get in touch with Mr. Lawton right away.
Oh, now, Gracie, surely you're not serious about this. Surely you wouldn't bother a great actor like Charles Lawton with the silly pageant. I know I can trust you.
Mama's little dreamer.
Gracie, I want you to promise me that you won't ask him.
Well...
Go on, promise.
All right, I promise.
Good. Now behave yourself while I go down to the cigar store.
Well, I'd better stop for Mr. Lawton's house.
Well, Gracie, you just promised George.
I promised I wouldn't ask Mr. Lawton to be Santa Claus.
Yes?
But I didn't promise I wouldn't ask his wife to ask him.
Oh, you're going to talk to Mrs. Lawton, Elsa
Lanchester. Well, sure,
Lanchester.
Sure. The way to a man's heart is through his wife.
I thought it was through his stomach.
Well, in Mr. Lawton's case, there's a shorter way.
Why, Gracie.
Hello, Elsa.
Come in, dear. It's been ages since I've seen you.
Yes, I guess the last time was at Maggie Ettinger's party.
That's right. Charming affair, wasn't it?
Oh, delightful. She's such a wonderful hostess. Of course, the sandwiches were terribly small.
True, and the cocktails were rather poisonous.
And the flowers on the table were all droopy.
Most of the guests were droopy, too.
Yeah, and Maggie had on the same dress she's worn at the last three parties.
The last four? But it really was a charming party.
Oh, delightful. Well, I better get down to business, Elsa. Do you think Charles would like to play Santa Claus in a Christmas pageant?
Santa Claus?
Yes. It would be a nice change from his movie work. And I know how tiring that can be.
What do you mean?
Well, George and I saw him in a picture not long ago, and I remember saying, George, Charles must be working too hard. He doesn't look well.
What picture was that?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes, he did look a bit seedy in that one.
But he'd look fine as Santa Claus.
Why don't you have George play the part?
Well, I asked him to, but he wouldn't do it.
You mean he refused?
Uh-huh.
That's ridiculous. It's absurd. After all, he's only a husband.
Well, doesn't Charles ever refuse?
I should say not. He wouldn't dare. Gracie, does George wear the pants in your house?
Well, not so much in the house, but always when he goes out.
I mean, is he boss?
Oh, sure, sure.
You've obviously let him get out of hand. Can't you control him at all?
Well, George was pretty well under control the first few years we were married, but then my mother left.
But, Gracie, the wife must be boss. For example, Charles serves me breakfast in bed. Does George do that?
Oh, no, no. He makes me come down to the table before he serves mine.
What about closing the windows and turning the heat on in the morning?
Oh, well, I've been doing that recently. It's icy cold in the room when we wake up.
All the more reason why you should make George do it.
Oh, I don't have the heart, Elsa. He lies there and looks at me so pathetically with those two big blue lips.
You're too soft, Gracie. Be like me. Keep Charles under your thumb.
My.
I lay down the law and he obeys it.
Gee.
I crack the whip and he jumps.
Really?
Absolutely. And to prove it, I promise you that Charles will play Santa Claus because I'll order him to play it.
Oh, you're sweet. So full of the real Christmas spirit.
Come on, let's go up to the attic. There's a red flannel nightshirt there that I made him stop wearing. It might do for part of the costume.
Well, why did you make him stop wearing it?
Oh, bad for my nerves. He looked exactly like a burning building.
Well, while the girls were in the attic, Mr. Lawton came home. He just hung up his hat when there was a knock at the door.
Oh, hello. Come on in, George.
Oh, thanks, Charles. Thanks. Say, Charles, I'm looking for Gracie. Is she here?
Why, George, how flattering.
I asked Gracie to tell you that for you not to be in her Christmas pageant. I told her not to do it, but I thought maybe she did anyway.
You meant she might have disobeyed you?
Sure.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's absurd. After all, she's only a wife.
Well, doesn't Elsa ever disobey you?
I should say not. She wouldn't dare. You're too soft, George. You let Gracie run over you.
Really?
Certainly. You're the husband. You're entitled to be boss. Who brings the money in your family? Who earns the living? I say, you are in rather an awkward spot, aren't you?
Yes, I guess so.
Believe me, I keep Elsa under my thumb.
My.
I lay down the law and she obeys it.
Gee.
I crack the whip and she jumps.
Really?
Absolutely.
You wear the pants around here, huh?
I haven't had them off in 17 years.
Boy, you go out whenever you want to, huh?
Out of question.
Your wife doesn't complain when you have the boys over for poker?
She wouldn't dare.
Well, how does she feel about smoking cigars in the living room?
I'd never let her do it.
No, I mean, can you do it?
I do as I please. And if Elsa so much as raises an eyebrow at me, I turn her across my knee and spank her.
What was that, Charles?
Oh, hello, darling. I didn't know you were home.
Evidently not. Gracie, give me that flannel nightshirt.
Oh, here you are, Elsa.
Charles, take this to your room and sew legs on it. You're going to be Santa Claus.
Don't argue with
me, fat boy. Go to your room.
Yes, dear.
George Burns, you go and help him.
But, Gracie...
Don't argue with me, skinny boy.
Yes, dear.
Gee, Elsa, this is fun.
Here's our popular young tenor, Jimmy Cash, with Felix Mills in the orchestra, and an old favorite that's coming to the fore again, a ballad called Home. Jimmy?
Evening ever brings to me dreams of days that used to be. Once more to be returned. peeping one by one. Night covers all, and though fortune may forsake me, sweet dreams will ever take.
Mr. Lawton, so you don't wear the pants in your family after all.
No, George, I confess, I wear the girdle.
I can't believe it. A big guy like you afraid of your wife.
It's a secret I've kept from the whole world. Why, outside of my home, everyone's afraid of me. Policemen tremble when I talk to them. Truck drivers get out of my way. Department store clerks actually wait on me.
But at home, you're a milquetoast.
Yes, it's terrible. I went to a psychoanalyst.
What did he say?
He said, talk back to your wife. Don't be afraid of her. He was a single man.
I guess that. But, Charles, why are you so afraid of Elsa? Does she beat you?
Oh, of course not. That's just the point. She's sweet to me, and I love her. But I want to be boss, and she won't let me.
Say.
I long to be the caveman type. I go to a Humphrey Bogart picture and just sit there and drool.
Well, haven't you ever gotten up enough nerve to do anything about it?
Well, once I did lose my temper. Elsa criticized my work.
That got you, huh?
Yeah. So I took off my apron, threw down my broom, and walked out of the house.
You're a tiger. You know...
Come in.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Lawton. I was looking for Gracie. Oh, hello, George.
Hello, Bill. Charles, this is Bill Goodwin.
How do you do?
Well, gee, Mr. Lawton, you don't have to stick your tongue out at me.
That's his lip. He's pouting. Oh. He's henpecked.
Ah, go on. Not Charles Lawton. He's too tough. Well, I can still hear him saying, Mr. Christian, come here. Scrub my back with swan.
I don't recall that.
Well, Charles, you must try it sometime. Swan's not only great for your bath or for bathing the baby, but it's just a soap for dishes and light laundry. Swan's the new white floating soap that's four swell soaps in one.
Say, Bill, we're serious. Gracie saw Elsa dominate Charles, and now I'm henpecked, too.
Well, what are you, George, a man or a mouse? Get tough with Gracie. Scare her.
How? Tell her I'll leave her?
No, don't bribe her. Scare her.
Bill.
Listen, I'll tell you how both of you can scare your wife.
How?
Tell him you won't let him bathe the babies with Swan.
What babies?
Well, any babies. Oh. Swan's great for all of them. Doctors recommend it because it's pure as fine Castiles, and it's so mild it's kind even to a little baby's tender skin, which, incidentally, is a tip-off to the fact that it's swell for your hands and face, your complexion.
Say, Charles, maybe we should try to scare our wives.
You're right. If we're ever going to get the upper hand, now's our chance, while there's a shortage of men.
Right. Now you're talking. Once and for all, end that myth about the better half.
We will.
There's no such thing as a better half. Both halves are equally good.
Sure.
So when you break Swan in two, put half in the kitchen and half in the bathroom.
So long, Bill.
You can put your half in the bathroom for your tub or shower.
Out, Bill.
Or you can put it in the kitchen for the dishes or light laundry.
Out.
George, let's go in there and pin their ears back.
Okay.
We'll show them who's boss.
You said it.
We'll scare the life out of them.
I'll say we will.
You go first.
Well, we better go in together.
You're right. United we stand.
That's the stuff.
Nothing can stop us.
Now you're talking.
We're husbands on the warpath.
That's us.
Let's have a drink first.
That's a good idea. One quick one to give us nerve.
Yes, I'll cut some lemon and put on the teapot.
Mm. Oh, never mind that. Let's go in and get this over with.
Right you are. It's now or never.
Sure.
Our wives can't push us around.
I'll say.
Men are meant to be masters, not women.
Right.
Do you think we'd better arm ourselves?
Oh, come on. We're not afraid of them. Remember Captain Bligh.
Very well. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's go.
Good.
Mrs. Lawton,
Mrs. Byrne.
Yes, dear?
Yes, dear.
Sit down. Sit down.
We are sitting.
Then stand up. Stand up.
Charles, what is the meaning?
Quiet.
We have come to deliver an ultimatum.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Henceforth, we will give the orders, not you. And to start with, we will not play Santa Claus.
That's right.
So you can take this Santa Claus suit and stuff it in the chimney.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, my goodness, what happened?
Charles must have gotten into my vitamin capsule.
Well, Elsa, if we let him get away with this, we're sunk.
You're right. They might tell other husbands and organize.
Yeah, and men are scarce now, even men like ours.
I don't know what to do. I've never seen Charles like this before.
Oh, I could handle your husband, but I wouldn't know what to do with George.
Oh, George is no problem.
Say, I have an idea. I'll handle your husband and you handle mine.
It's a deal. Mr. Burns, may I see you alone for a moment?
Why, of course, Elsa.
Oh, and Mr. Lawton, I'd like to speak with you.
What is it, Elsa?
Sit down, George. I'll sit here at your feet.
Well, if that's the way you like it, it's...
If Pete have so much character, George, what size are they?
11s.
The best size. There can be no nonsense about a man who has so much of him on the ground.
Look, if you're trying to flatter me into playing Santa Claus,
oh,
you...
Oh, no, George. I admire you for refusing. You are so virile, so masterful.
Well, Charles spoke up, too.
Only because he had your strength to lean on.
Really?
You are strong, aren't you, George?
Well, I'm not exactly a panty waist.
Modest boy. Flex your arm and let me feel your muscle.
Okay. Grab hold.
Go on. Flex it.
It's flexed.
How nice to have smooth muscles that don't make lumps.
Yeah.
Your personality and your gorgeous, resonant voice.
Aimless behavior all by myself.
Oh, you sing, too.
Why, of course.
Do you ever sing any lighter things, such as Christmas carols?
Oh, sure. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Magnificent, George.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Incredible. You actually seem to have bells that swing back and forth in your throat.
Those are tonsils.
What a pity the world must be robbed of such beauty.
Huh?
If you played Santa Claus and made your entrance singing jingle bells, it would be the theatrical event of the century.
Bigger than the Avon Comedy Fall?
I think so. Well, why discuss it? I admire the stand you've taken and you mustn't change it.
Wait a minute. You can't tell me what to do.
I can't?
No. If I want to play Santa Claus, nobody can stop me.
Oh, George, you're so strong. So terribly strong.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells.
So, Mrs. Burns, if you have any notion of wheedling me into the part of Santa Claus in your moth-eaten pageant, forget it. I won't do it, and that's final.
Then I may as well go?
You may as well.
All right. I won't bother you anymore. May I have a picture of you to take with me?
You women seem to... picture of me.
Yes, and if it's not too much trouble, please sign it. To Gracie, from the greatest actor of all time.
Oh, it's no trouble at all, my dear. Do you really think I'm the greatest?
Oh, certainly. I've seen lots of actors, but you're head and shoulders and so on and so forth above them all.
Well, very well, here's your picture.
But you didn't write from the greatest actor of all time.
It's stamped on all my pictures.
Oh, my, you're handsome. I can't understand those silly people who stand in line for hours to see an Errol Flynn movie. I wait until one of your pictures is playing, and then I go right in and pick out the best seat in the house.
I had no idea you were such a devoted admirer.
Oh, I'm not the only one. You know, I saw a revival of Henry VIII not so long ago, and when you played one scene, the whole audience was in tears.
The scene where I was a feeble, broken old man.
No, the scene where you took a big bone with lots of meat on it and threw it to the dogs.
One time, that was considered quite amusing.
I love to hear you deliver lines, Mr. Lawton. Those rich, beautiful sounds come pouring out of you like wine out of a barrel.
Thank you, I think.
Oh. Mr. Lawton, I'll bet you could take just any old words and make them sound wonderful. Like, for instance, ho dancer, ho prancer.
Doesn't Santa Claus say that to his reindeer?
Yes. Try it.
Ho dancer! Ho prancer! Jove, it does sound good, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does.
But I'm not satisfied. I see dancer as a more delicate deer than prancer. Or, how's this? Ho dancer! Ho prancer!
Oh, you're cute.
Now, prancer needs to be polished. I see prancer as a frisky animal, always kicking up his heels, something like this. Ho dancer! Ho, 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 prancer!
Oh. Oh, what a pity that such a great performance should never be heard.
But it shall be heard. I insist that it be heard.
Oh, you're so masterful, Charles. I guess I'll have to give in.
Well, Gracie, your problem is solved. George is in there, and he's agreed to play Santa Claus.
What? Over my dead body?
Gracie, it looks like you're going to have two Santa Clauses for your pageant.
Well, yeah. I think the admission tickets will have to be brown ration stamps.
What for?
Well, won't we be giving the audience the two biggest hams in the world?
You're right.
George and Gracie will be right back, friends, and meanwhile, I'd like to remind you that because we're all busy these days, every little convenience can be a big help. Like 4-in-1 Swan soap, for instance. You see, one soap, Swan, the new white floating soap, is swell for baby's bath, your own bath and complexion, dishes, and light laundry. Yes, Swan is four soaps in one, and a great wartime buy. And now, from the makers of Swan, Christmas greetings to you all. And here again, our radio's ever-loved Mr. and Mrs., George and Gracie.
Say, George, you know who our guest is next week? John Garfield.
Oh, swear.
Oh, that poor boy. He's always been throwing into prison.
Oh, yes. They throw him into prison for $30,000 a week.
Say, do you think we can spring him in time for our show?
I'll talk to his agent. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Our thanks to our guest tonight, Elsa Lanchester, and her husband, Charles Lawton, who appeared with the kind permission of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor musical Thousands Cheer. The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in to your Columbia station again next week, same time, when we'll have as our guest, John Garfield. Remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS, next Tuesday night. And now till next Tuesday, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I swan, how about you? And also adding, tomorrow night, don't miss the big radio treat of this year and every year. Lionel Barrymore as old Scrooge in Charles Dickens' immortal Yuletide story, A Christmas Carol. It'll be broadcast over most of these same stations at this same time tomorrow night. Get the whole family to listen to Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol starring Lionel Barrymore, the only time this season that Mr. Barrymore will broadcast this great Christmas story. Good night, everyone.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week throughout the World Wide Web. Follow us on Podbean or iTunes to hear more from the Golden Age of Radio. Next, we have a cast of characters that was beloved by Americans for over three decades. Amos has to use his ingenuity to earn the money for a Christmas gift for a very special recipient in this episode of Amos and Andy. Enjoy Amos and Andy, first broadcast, December 23rd, 1944, on NBC.
Andy, did you hear that? Come on, will you?
Did I hear what?
That whistle. That's the Rinso White whistle.
And Rinso means us.
That's right. Rinso gets clothes Rinso White. And Rinso presents the Amos and Andy Show. With their guests for tonight, the Paul Taylor Chorus. Well, it's practically Christmas, and all through the house, the youngsters are helping with everything, even the dishes. But unfortunately for Mom, that state of affairs won't last very long. She'll soon be facing a sink piled high with Christmas dinner dishes and not a helping hand in sight. Of course, Mom knows she can depend on Rinso to make quick work of the biggest pile of dishes. Why, ladies, you just fill your dishpan full of those soapy rich Rinso suds and watch the heavy grease and sticky food particles scoot. In next to no time, every dish is bright and shining. And ladies, Rinso's easy on your hands, too. So don't take chances. Use Rinso. And now, here are Amos and Andy and their guests, the Paul Taylor Chorus. It's the Saturday before Christmas. The morning crowds are milling about Lenox Avenue in Harlem doing their last-minute shopping. Andy is out with Amos's little girl, Arbidella, on their annual Christmas tour of the department store windows. Right now, they're looking at a little doll in one of the windows.
Yeah, that show is a pretty doll, Arbidella.
Yes, that's the one I wrote and asked Santa Claus to bring me. But Daddy said I wrote the letter too late. You see, I only wrote it 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, that ain't giving Santa Claus much time. You gotta write him before that.
Isn't she pretty, though, Uncle Andy?
Yeah.
Daddy said Santa Claus would bring her to me next Christmas.
Oh, sure. You see, that'll give him more time.
We're having a good time today, ain't we, Uncle Andy? I like being out with you.
Yeah, and I like being out with you, too, Arbidella. But I guess we better be getting on home now.
Do you think Mommy and Daddy will be home yet?
Oh, yeah. They say they'd be home at 12.
Uncle Andy, let me just look at the doll once more.
Oh, sure, honey.
She's beautiful. She's a talking doll, too.
Yeah, they is the best ones, all right.
That sure's a pretty dress she's got on. But when Santa Claus brings her to me next year, I'm going to make her a lot more pretty dresses. Mm. Pink ones. I can hardly wait till next Christmas.
Miss Andy, you sure got a lot of Christmas presents there.
Yeah, Lightning. I want to get them all wrapped up now, too, so I ain't got to do it this afternoon or tonight.
What is that one you got there? Perfume?
Yeah, for one of my girlfriends. You know, Sadie Blake.
She likes that sweet-smelling stuff already, don't she?
Well, she oughta. This is genuine imported French perfume. Yeah. Uh-oh, look at this. They done left the price on there. 25 cents. Is you got a pencil, Lightning?
Yeah, sir, but it ain't got no rubber on the end of it.
Well, I don't care about no rubber. I just wants to put two in front of that and make it 2 1/4. You see, Lightning, if Sadie don't like the perfume, she'll be crazy about the price.
Yeah, well, what you got in this package here, Miss Andy?
Oh, them are some handkerchiefs that I'm going to give that other gal friend of mine, Evelyn Bennett.
But wait a minute, Miss Andy. These has got a C broidered up in the corner.
Yeah, well, last year I was going to give them to that gal Carmen that I was going with, but we done busted up 2 days before Christmas.
Well, with the letter C on there, I don't see how you can give them to Evelyn Bennett.
Yeah, well, I thought of that. So for the last 3 weeks, I've been calling her Cookie.
Look here, here come the Kingfish and Henry Van Porter.
Yeah, come in, fellas, come in.
Well, hello there, Lightning. Hello, Andy. Merry Christmas, fellas. Noel, and all that stuff.
That's a charming new time.
A charming Yuletide to you, gentlemen. The charming Yuletide.
Yeah, charming Yuletide to you, too, Henry.
Yeah, well, I see you're wrapping all your Christmas presents here, Andy. Any time that you want me to turn my back and not look, just say the word.
Well, listen, I ain't bought you a present, Kingfish.
Oh, you ain't got around to that yet, huh? Mm. Well, don't worry about it, Brother Andy. You got time. You know, my wife and me were talking about the same thing just this morning. Mm. She said to me, she said, George, do you think that any of your friends is going to give you that bathrobe they got in the corner window at the Globe department store? Mm. I said, honey, you mean the blue one with the red sash around it that I'm crazy about? She said, yeah, you know, it's marked $3.95. I said, yeah, honey, that's the one, size 40. Yeah, funny thing, I mean, my wife talk back and forth like that, ain't it? You know, just...
Yes, well, you could use a new bathrobe, Kingfish. That one you had on yesterday certainly was a mess.
Yeah, oh, and by the way, Andy, I just thought of something. How big is that door at your boarding house?
Door? Why?
Well, I'm coming up to see you tomorrow morning with a pretty big package for you. If I can't get it in there, though, I can always take the door off the hinges, can't we?
Yeah. Say, this is kind of embarrassing, because I is broke and can't afford to buy nothing for you.
Nothing at all?
That's right. Say, what time you expect to be up there with that big package?
Well, on second thought, it might not be as early as I expected, you know.
Well, I'll be there all morning.
Yeah, well, don't wait for me, though, Andy. See, I got a lot of baggage to deliver. Might not get around to you till February or March. I don't know what this thing is.
Yeah, well, I know that it was something like that.
Move Andy, I've been trying to wrap some of these packages here for you. This is a hard one, all right.
Well, what in the world is that?
Oh, that's a little toy automobile I done bought for Amos Jr. You wind it up and it scoots around the floor, backs up and does everything. I'll show you here.
Yeah, let's see that there.
Now watch this.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Look at it go.
Say, that is the cutest thing I done ever seen.
Yeah, see the way that thing went around there? Look at that.
Well, look at this, will you? It's even got a license number on it.
Yeah, let me have it, Henry. I want to see if I can shoot it around the floor again here.
But I can wind it myself, Kingfish.
Yeah, well, let me do it, Henry. I asked for it.
Yes, but I picked it up first.
Well, now, don't break it, fellas.
Well, Andy, can't I be the one to work it?
Kingfish, I'm going to work it. Now, let's not be childish about this.
All right. But I'm next on the thing.
Well, I'm going to put it back in the box now before it gets broke. And I got a lot of things to do around here, too. You children better run along home now.
Say, by the way, Andy, you coming over to the gathering at Lodge Hall this afternoon, ain't you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, you know, all the boys are getting together. Christmas spirit, refreshment, slapping everybody on the back and all that stuff, you know?
Yes, the whole gang is going to be there. I'll see you there, Andy.
Okay, so long, fellas.
Yeah, well, so long. Merry Christmas.
Goodbye, boys. Goodbye.
Well, I was wrapping this package of colored crayons that you bought for Arbidella, Mr. Andy.
Yeah, go ahead, wrap that.
Must I rub out the 10 cents or must I just put a $1 in front of it?
Oh, rub it out. This ain't much of a gift to give a kid, is it?
And those, well, it ain't bad, Miss Anna.
Yeah, but she might not even like crayons.
Well, she might and she might not. After all, you don't know what Miss Amos's daughter likes.
Well, the funny part of it is, Lightning, I do know what she likes.
Well, even if you do, that don't make no difference, because you was broke. You ain't got enough money to buy nothing more.
Yeah, that's what's troubling me. I is broke. Say, Lightning, what time is it?
It's nearly 1 o'clock.
Say, I'm going to leave. I'll see you later.
You want to see me?
Yes, I guess so. Is you the gentleman to do the hiring here for the store?
That's right. My name is Simmons.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if you need any extra sales help for the last-minute rush this afternoon. I would work hard.
Well, we did need extra help up until yesterday, but I think we can get through the rest of the day with the salespeople we have.
Oh, well, thank you just the same, mister.
Wait, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you can do it.
What's that?
Well, one of our Santa Claus's helpers was called home. You see, his wife was taken ill suddenly, and we could use somebody to take his place. You think you could do it?
Be Santa Claus's helper?
That's right.
Yeah, well, I ain't never done that before. Well, sure, I can do it.
Fine. Now, if you'll come down to the fourth floor, I'll give you your Santa Claus suit and tell you just what you're supposed to do.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Brown, that Santa Claus suit seems to fit you as well as the man who worked here before.
Yeah. Help me button the thing up, will you, Mr. Simmons? A little snug right here.
Yes, as I see. Well, you've got that pillar in there just right.
That ain't no pillar, that's me.
Well, I think you better hurry and finish putting on your costume, Mr. Brown. I want you to get out in the toy department with the children.
Yeah, well, I guess the next thing to do is to get these boots on here. I'll sit down here and try to get in them. I'll pull them on here. Uh-oh. Mr. Simmons, has you got any of that sliding powder by any chance?
Why? What's the matter?
The dogs is too big for the house. Wait a minute. I got one in. Now, here goes the other one. There we is. Feet, you was wrapped up plenty tight today.
Well, that's fine. Now just put on these whiskers and this hat and you're all set.
Yes, okay. Now, what must I do, Mr. Simmons, when I gets out there?
Well, Santa Claus's chair is right over at the far end of the toy department. Now, I want you to listen to the little children while they tell you what they would like for Christmas. Mm. And then assure them that Santa Claus will get their message.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And the idea is that Santa Claus would have a pretty tough time of it handling everything himself if he didn't have you helpers. I think you understand what I mean.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. I understand all right. Yes.
And if you run into any difficulties of any sort, just call the floor walker.
All right, Sonny, you was next. Come right up here now and sit on Santa Claus's lap. That's the boy. Now, tell Santa Claus, what you want for Christmas?
I want a G-Man badge and a gun.
A G-Man badge and a gun? Yeah, well, what's your name, Sonny?
Oliver Griffith.
Oliver Griffith? Well, is you done been a good boy all year, Oliver?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, well, I could have seen that without even asking you. You was a nice little fella. I bet you drinks up all your milk at every meal, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Well, you drinks part of it, though, don't you?
I don't drink none of it.
None of it, huh?
No.
Oh, floor walker, can you come over here?
If Santa Claus bring me the G-Man badge and the gun, I'll drink my milk.
Oh, yeah, well, never mind, floor walker. Oh, that's a good little boy, Oliver. Now, you just hang up your stocking and everything's going to be all right.
Oh, thank you, Santa Claus. Come on, Oliver.
Am I next?
Yeah, you is next. My, what a nice little girl. Sit right here on my knee. Now, tell me, what is your name?
Henrietta Lewis.
That's a pretty name, too. And that's a pretty little dress you got on there.
Well, Mama made it for me. See the ribbon?
Yeah, that's good, all right. Henrietta, you was one of the sweetest little girls I don't ever see. Now tell me, what do you want for Christmas?
A football.
A football?
Yes, and a two chests and a drum.
Two chests? Well, what do a little girl like you want with them things?
Oh, I don't want them for myself.
Oh, well, who does you want them for?
My little brother.
Your brother?
Yes, you see, he's sick in bed, and he couldn't come down here, and I don't want you to forget him.
Oh, well, that sure is sweet of you, Henrietta. And I can tell you right now that Santa Claus is going to take care of him.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas, honey. Merry
hey,
Christmas.
Quit shoving. I'm next.
Yeah, no fighting there now, boys. No fighting. Take it easy.
I tried to push in ahead of me. I'm next. Ain't I, Santa Claus?
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah, Sonny. What's your name?
Percy Carter.
Percy? Percy, huh? What you want for Christmas?
I want a machine gun. Do I get it?
I'll see what I can do about it and all that stuff.
I want a wallet, too, with a picture of Humphrey Bogart in it.
Yeah, well, I'll work on that, too. Who's next?
Wait a minute, Santa Claus. I ain't through yet. I want to ask you something.
Yeah, well, what is it, Percy?
Last year, I asked you for a pair of skates, and I didn't get them. What goes?
Well... Well, you got a lot of other stuff, though, didn't you?
Yeah. I got a necktie, some socks, and a couple of handkerchiefs. But who wants that stuff?
Ah, well, better luck this year. All right, who's next?
Wait a minute. I got more stuff to ask you.
Oh.
In that workshop up north where Santa Claus makes all his toys?
Yeah.
What kind of country is that?
Country? Well, it's just, it's nothing but ice and snow and snow and ice, all stuff like that.
No trees or nothing?
No, just ice and snow.
Then where does Santa Claus get the apples and oranges he puts in the stockings every Christmas?
Old Floor Walker.
Ah, forget it.
Yeah, all right, all right. Thank you, son. Who's next?
I am, Santa Claus.
Oh, step right up, Sonny. Step right up.
Yes, sir.
And what's your name?
Jimmy Watson.
And what is
it? A baseball glove, a punching bag, a watercolor set, a ring toss, a fountain pen, a Mickey Mouse wristwatch, a cowboy suit, a telegraph set, a bicycle bell, a flashlight, and a baby sister.
Is that all you want?
That's all I can think of right now.
Well, you look a little worn out, Mr. Brown.
Oh, yes, sir. I is a little tired. I never talked to so many kids in all my life. But you know something? They is really cute, though, you know it?
Well, you did very well. All the children seemed very happy, and the parents were just standing there beaming.
Yes, I see that. Thank you, sir.
Well, we certainly appreciated having you here this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Well, tell you the truth, I enjoyed it, too. And, of course, you know I done it for a special reason.
Yes, and here it is, Mr. Brown. I had the stock boy take it out of the window, the talking doll.
Andy has been well rewarded in his effort to get a Christmas present for Amos's little girl. We'll hear more about it in just a moment. You know, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without holly wreaths and Christmas trees and little dinner table scenes like this one.
Oh, boy! Turkey! Oh, I want the drumstick!
Oh, Tommy, you're going to upset the gravy bowl. Oh, Tommy, you've got gravy all over your shirt.
Well, Tommy's shirt will be a real contribution to the family wash this time, to say nothing of the tablecloth. But does that bother his mother?
Well, Tommy's shirt is certainly not very pretty. But with Rinso in the wash tub, it will come out like magic.
Yes, you see, ladies, Rinso soaks clothes clean in as little as 10 minutes. Just a few quick finger rubs wherever the dirt's a little stubborn, and rinse. All your washable colors come spotlessly, Rinso bright, safely, even after dozens of washings. And, of course, Rinso gets your white wash. Rinso white, because those peppy, rich suds get out more dirt. So make every wash day a Rinso wash day, and you'll whistle while you work. And now, back to the Amos and Andy Show and their guests, the Paul Taylor Chorus. It's Christmas Eve. Andy has just arrived at Amos's with an arm full of packages.
Well, come in, son, come in. You look like Santa Claus there with all that stuff.
Yeah, how is you, boy? How is you? Say, that tree looks good.
Yeah, pretty, ain't it, Andy?
Sure is. Wait a minute. Let me lay these packages down here on the sofa.
Yeah, tell me this. You making the rounds now, huh?
Oh, yeah, making the rounds, spreading good cheer and all that stuff, yeah. Boy, that is a pretty tree. You got a lot of lights on there, too.
Yeah, we been saving them for 2-3 years. You know, they're pretty hard to get now.
Oh, sure, I know.
We just decorated that tonight. Yeah. Yeah, Ruby and her mama is going out to take a few things to some poor people they heard about here in town. They'll be gone for about an hour.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I say, Andy, why wasn't you over with all the fellas at the lodge hall yesterday?
Who, me? I must have clean forgot about that. Amos, I'll leave these packages right here.
All of them?
Oh, sure. Here's one for Ruby, and here's one for Mama, here's one for you, and there's a little toy automobile for your baby.
Oh, gee, Andy.
And here's a package for Arbidella. And listen, Amos.
What's that?
Be sure and tell her that this one is from Santa Claus.
Oh, gee, that's a nice-looking package there for her, all right.
Oh, just a little something I picked up, nothing.
Oh, gee, you certainly is a Santa Claus this year, and I ain't never seen a Santa Claus like this.
Yeah, well, don't forget, I seen a lot of stuff over at my place from your house.
Yeah, well, like I told you, Andy, it ain't much, but we wanted you to know that we love you and we're thinking about you.
Oh, well, Amos, I feel better this year than I ever felt. By the way, when are you going to open up your packages?
Oh, the kids get up early, and we all get up and start early Christmas morning. And now, don't forget, too, you promised us this morning that you'd be here for Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah, I sure will. That's nice of you, too, because the other two I was figuring on going to didn't work out so good.
Oh, it didn't, huh?
No.
Yeah, well, we want you here, Andy, so you count on it.
Yeah, well, that's swell, that's swell. Well, I got to get going, son. I got to run around, drop in on 2-3 people, say hello to them.
Yeah, well, okay, son, and I'll see you tomorrow. And thanks a lot for the present. It sure was nice of you, Andy.
Oh, nothing at all, nothing at all. And say Merry Christmas to Ruby and her mama for me and the kids.
Yes, right? I will, Andy. I'm going on back with Arbidella now.
Yeah, well, so long, Amos.
So long, Andy, so long. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Well, honey, you was all in bed, ain't you?
Daddy, can I turn on the little radio for a minute before I go to sleep?
Yeah, well, just for a minute or two, I'll snap it on for you. There you are. Now we let it warm up a few seconds. We don't want to wake up baby.
Oh, music never wakes him up, Daddy.
Yeah, well, now, let me straighten your covers out a little, honey. Tell me this, is you said your prayers?
Mommy heard my prayers before she went out, Daddy.
Yeah, well, that's
the
good.
The Paul Taylor chorus continues with the Lord's Prayer.
Well, now, get under the covers.
Daddy, could you get some Christmas music on the radio?
Why, darling, this is the very best Christmas music you could get. They're going to sing the Lord's Prayer.
I've been saying the Lord's Prayer with Mommy. She's been teaching it to me.
Yeah, I know she is.
What does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
Well, it means an awful lot, and with the world like it is today, it seems to have a bigger meaning than ever before.
Well, what does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
The Lord's Prayer? Well, darling, I'll explain it to you.
Well, will you, Daddy?
Yeah, now, you lay down there, that's right, and listen. Now, the first line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father, which art in heaven, that means Father of all that is good, where no wrong can ever dwell. Then it says, hallowed be thy name. That means, darling, that we should love and respect all that is good. And then it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. That means, darling, as we clean our hearts of all hate and selfishness and fill our hearts with love, the good, the true, and the beautiful, then this earth where we are now will be just like heaven.
That would be wonderful, Daddy.
Then it says after that, give us this day our daily bread. Now that means, honey, to feed our hearts and minds with kindness, love, and courage, which will make us strong for our daily task. Then after that, the next line of the Lord's Prayer is this, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you remember the golden rule?
Yes, sir.
Well, that means that we must keep the golden rule and do unto others as we would want others to do unto us.
Oh.
And then it says after that, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that means, my darling, to ask God to help us do and see and think right, so that we will neither be led or tempted by anything in the world that could be bad. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. That means, my darling, that all the world and everything is in it belongs to God's kingdom. Everything. Your mommy, your daddy, your little brother, your grandma, you and everybody. And as we know that and act as if we do know it, my darling, that is the real spirit of Christmas.
That's good, Daddy.
Well, now, I guess we ought to cut off the radio and let you go to sleep.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, sweetheart.
Daddy, will you leave the radio on while I go to sleep?
All right, I'll leave it on and you can listen to some Christmas music. Christmas, my darling.
Thomas and Andy.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Hello, folks.
On behalf of the makers of Rinso and everybody here, we want to sincerely wish you a very happy Christmas.
We know that to many of you, it won't really seem like Christmas this year with your loved ones so far away. But there are many things to be grateful for.
And we hope and pray that a year from now, we will all be able to celebrate a Christmas when there is really peace on earth.
Good night, folks.
Merry Christmas.
To be with us again next Friday evening at the same time when the makers of Rinso will again present the Amos and Andy Show. Our thanks to the Paul Taylor Chorus for joining Amos and Andy in their Christmas presentation tonight. This is Harlow Wilcox saying good night to all of you from all of us.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear the best of old radio from our archives. We appreciate your listening, and we enjoy finding shows that reflect a world that was very different than the one we live in today. Hope you can join us again for more holiday fun next week on the Old Time Radio Hour. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.